Hey guys, wanted to invite you to the Awaken Conference, Memorial Day weekend, May 23rd through 25th in 2020. We are bringing it back. Thousands of young adults are going to gather in this city, Dallas, Texas, to be a part of a weekend where we awaken to the movement you were made for, which is the church. To be a part of that weekend, to find out all that will be involved, you can go to awaken.live and sign up. You don't want to miss it, and we hope to see you there.
All right, here we go. What's up, all my friends, all the Porchies tuning in live right now at home, cuddled up, quarantine. Thanks for taking precaution and not coming here to Watermark tonight. Just want to say welcome and welcome to the Porch Live experience. We want you to know that just here shortly, I'll be interviewing Mr. David Marvin. And so what I'd like for you to do is you can kind of zoom out in this moment, hit share, and tell all your friends to tune in. We want everyone watching what's going to be discussed tonight. I think it's going to be really helpful, really powerful. So we'll get started here shortly. Everyone grab your hand sanitizer, sanitize up, and we'll see you soon. Let's go, Porch.
All right, what's up, guys? Hey, this is David. I'm joined with my friend JD Rogers.
Hey, everyone.
If you haven't gotten to meet JD, he's a part of leadership here, and we are doing what is probably going to be the first of several different things where we stream messages on Tuesday nights for at least the next few weeks or the time being. Who knows how long that'll take place, but we're going to do what we always do, which is look at God's word and say, what does it look like in this season of young adulthood to practically apply scripture and principles in the midst of, you know, any season of life, and particularly in this season of life. What a crazy time, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it really is just crazy all that's happening, just with the virus and the way that the world is responding to it. And so I'm glad that we get to come to a place like this and talk about it, to hopefully be helpful.
Yep.
And just talk about all that's going on, and I'm just excited. And so I know for me, David, I'm 26, single, and I'm sitting in my apartment watching all that's happening. The media is giving so many mixed messages. And I am at home going, I don't even know where to begin. Like, I wish I was way more media savvy, news savvy before this. Yeah. And I don't know which kind of voices to trust. I don't know. I mean, it's like, seems like Trump is on there every day telling us things. It seems like, I mean, for our city of Dallas, things are changing every single day.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what do I do? Like, how do I actually respond? Should I be more afraid than I am? Should I be more cautious than I am? Like,
yeah.
Are we even 6 feet right now? Like, and
totally.
I think, you know, you have a lot of wisdom on this topic, and just even getting to talk for you for just a little bit, I think you have a lot to provide for the people watching right now and the people tuning in, which, by the way, shout out to our friends on YouTube. Streaming
YouTube
with
live.
Us. We're trying to push more and more to our YouTube page.
That's
and
right,
so
man.
Glad y'all are here. But, you know, I just want to hear from you. Like, I'm about to take the posture of just a student in this moment and just let me have it of all I should know about how we should respond as Christians, as people, to the coronavirus. And I'm just excited to hear from you. So thanks for letting me just sit in this chair and listen to you.
Well, dude, I think both of us are going to get a chance to hear just from God's word and what it says. The principles in the midst of all the craziness in the world around us of anxiety and how to find peace have never been more relevant. And tragically, too many Christians in the midst of a virus or just life, even before the virus, their life is marked by anxiety. And yet God calls us and has invited us to a life that's marked by peace. I'll start by sharing this. A few weeks ago, I had a chance to go speak at another ministry organization that was a few hours away, and I had a chance to take some friends with me on a plane that a mutual friend of ours had allowed us, basically, which is the most random scenario. There's not many times in my life, in fact, this would be the only and probably only
same.
Ever time
yeah,
where somebody's like, yeah, dude, hey, we're not using the plane. If you want to take it down there for ministry purposes and speak and then fly back, because I had back-to-back speaking engagements 2 days in a row, and they let us. And
it was so sketchy, though.
It was so sketchy. Well, it's a great plane.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, but a friend of ours, or a friend of mine who used to work for me, actually, was the pilot. And he was like, yeah, we'll take you down there. We'll take you on the plane. We'll fly you down. I was like, dude, that's amazing. It was a small, like, two prop, which is two propeller plane. And both all this excitement was filled with, that's going to be incredible, you know, 2 weeks out. And then a few days before, I was like, oh my gosh, I know this guy. I know the pilot. And the pilot is somebody, it's almost like a brain surgeon. You don't want to be like buddy-buddy with the brain surgeon. Right. You don't want to have any relationship with him. You don't want him to be the guy that like, oh, remember that one time? That was so funny.
Yep.
And so anyways, as we were preparing for it, my community group, JD, and another friend of ours were going down. They were going to join me to fly in, speak, and then fly back.
Didn't really know what to expect, honestly.
No, totally.
Getting on the plane.
The weather... we began to realize
storming.
It was stormy. So like 24 hours before, I have a friend who's the pilot who I honestly don't even know if he flies planes. This could be a whole joke. It's stormy weather.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling my wife like, hey, if we don't make it back, here's where the will is. And here's what to do.
Gosh.
And you know that scene in Armageddon where like all the astronauts are hugging their wives? Maybe this is the last, it felt mm-hmm. like that. And honestly, all my community group, ironically, or not ironically at all, felt that same way. Yep. And
I called my mom.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I called her.
You did. Here was the biggest irony, is I was flying down there to teach on anxiety and how you can experience peace from it. Mm-hmm. And we're like on the plane and it's bumpy and I'm feeling every single bump. And I just remember feeling like, man, a mixture of hypocrisy and irony and God teaching me something because I'm flying in to teach on anxiety and the topic of experiencing freedom from it. And yet, what is filling me right now is anxiety.
And it's like, it's hilarious because like y'all have to know, it's like a pretty small plane. And yeah. There was how many guys?
Six.
Six grown adult men on this plane. And I'll never forget, we're all like trying to low key act, you know, tough. But like at the end of the day, it starts to storm. And I remember looking at my friend and he's looking at me and I was like, you scared? And he was like, yeah, I'm scared. I was like, if we grab hands, we're just praying.
This part I did not know. Okay.
We're just up in the front, just praying,
oh,
sharing
my
one
gosh.
Seater.
Dude, but how hilarious that you have six Christian people, one of which is flying in to teach thousands of people on anxiety, and his life is marked by anxiety. And I start there because I think a lot of us experience, despite the fact that the Bible promises or calls Christians to a life that is guarded by peace that surpasses understanding. Philippians chapter 4 says, hey, God wants you to experience a life that is marked by a peace that surpasses understanding. So many of us as Christians, we experience anxiety that surpasses understanding,
mm-hmm.
or an imperfect peace, despite the fact that God says, you know, in Isaiah chapter 26, if you keep your eyes fixed on me, I keep in perfect peace him whose eyes are fixed on me.
Yep.
And yet that's often not the case or the experience of a lot of people and in our lives. And so I think as a Christian, the constant question is, how do I continue to apply rightly the principles that God has given us on fighting anxiety, whether it's in the midst of a corona epidemic, where I know a lot of us are, what's at stake is not just maybe I get some symptoms of a cold that in my generation, the effects are not really that big, but I may lose my job. It's yeah. probably a more fearful thing.
Yeah, I was sitting down with a friend yesterday and 6 feet apart, obviously.
Of course.
And they were just expressing to me like, hey, I actually don't know what to do. So they just moved to Dallas to start a new job and they get a call from their job and they're like, hey, no one can come in until like a month. And that means that they moved here expecting to get a paycheck to start paying yep. their rent and their new apartment, which are not cheap in Dallas.
Yep.
And they're not going to get that paycheck because they're not getting to start work.
Yep.
No HR, no nothing. They haven't got to do any of the process. And now they are literally stuck in Dallas in an apartment, jobless.
Yeah.
And they're just expressing, I couldn't have predicted this. Like,
totally.
What do I do?
Yeah. And what do I do with those feelings of anxiety?
Yeah.
Or like, you know, there's thousands of people infected in our country. By the time you listen to this, if it's a week late, there may be 10 times that. Which means there are hundreds of thousands of people who have someone they know that's being impacted. And so we just wanted to open up and talk a little bit about the subject of anxiety
mm-hmm.
and what God's word says. And it's a timeless conversation, or the truths from God's word are timeless regardless of what's going on around us. But we know that that's a real scenario. There's thousands of people that listen into the porch that are in Seattle, that are in Phoenix, that are at the different 15 Porch Live locations. And in Dallas and all over. And so we know everyone is experiencing some degree of being impacted by this and likely is being impacted by the future of uncertainty that faces all of us. So
yeah.
What I wanted to do was just open up a few things that we know from Scripture, from God's word, and just talk a little bit about some of the stuff that it says. The Bible says, here'd be a way that I would put it. If there was a slogan for the Bible, it would be do not fear. Like slogan, like what I mean by that, like what's your favorite company slogan? Like slogan, I mean, like Nike, Just Do It, Arby's. What's the Arby's? It's We Have the Meats. Or
that one's weird.
Yeah, that one is kind of weird.
I think mine is.
Or maybe it's Maybelline. No. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Every kiss begins with K.
Every kiss begins with K. That's right.
Mine is the, I go to like the Donut Palace down the road, and their slogan is, you deserve a donut. It just makes me feel good about myself.
That is one of the, no one, I've never heard of the Donut Palace.
I promise you, David, everyone, the donut, this is the classic, it says donut in red letters.
Yeah.
Everyone knows those places.
Yeah.
All over. Yeah, that's like the Donut Palace. It's like.
So your version of that, and on the bag they have.
Every bag has the pink sprinkled donut, and it says,
oh my gosh,
you deserve a
it.
Donut. And I'm like, you know what? I do deserve a donut. It's Monday.
Dude, I love it. Whatever slogan is your favorite, here's what, if the Bible had a slogan, whether this would be it or it'd be in the top three, would be do not fear. It's either like, you know, it would be the slogan or it'd at least be in the top three of things. Because, and the reason I say that is the most repeated command in all of Scripture is do not fear. More than, hey, believe, more than pray, more than anything that you would pick up, more than like, hey, don't have sex outside of marriage. The most repeated command in the Bible is do not fear. So God wants us to experience a life, no matter what is going on, that knows and is marked by peace or not by fear. It says it 366 times. We've joked at the porch before. Wow. That is one for every day of the year. If you took all of them out, including leap year, like the one that we're in right now, like God is clearly hammering home this message. And so first, just a high level that God doesn't want his people to live in fear. So he's given principles and a path towards really us experiencing that. I think one of the things that I think is redeeming of Corona, at least in, you know, the little bit amount of time that I've had or that we've all had seeing it, is it's kind of put things into perspective. It's began to remind us that as Christians, biblically, we're not home. And a virus popping up reminds us that, oh man, this is, we live in a broken world that is full of sickness and death. And sometimes because we live in America, it's so protected. Like viruses that pop up in most of history or have popped up that wipe out huge amounts of the population. We kind of like have medical staff and we're like, oh, you get a shot for that. And now we're being reminded, no, life and mortality or your death is a real inevitable thing. And there's some redeeming aspects that have come with it that can remind us I'm not home.
Yeah.
When I was in, I spent like 5 weeks in Africa when I was in college. It was like a summer. It was a long time. It's a really long time.
What part of Africa?
East Uganda.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Oh.
I love Africa.
Dude, we were like outside of Kampala, 2 hours.
Wow.
We were in the bush. Like when people talk about you know, out with the bush, we were there. We were by the bush. It was so far off the grid. We stayed in this village. I mean, the experience is, we could talk for endless amounts of time on it.
That's amazing.
I remember at some points when we were kind of nearing the end of it, there would be certain niceties that we every once in a while got where you'd get like, oh, we get Coca-Cola.
Cold.
You know? Yeah, we get a cold beverage this time.
Yeah.
Or we get to, you know, go experience eating at a restaurant or not just eating rice and beans and plantains out in this village or different things that were kind of niceties of our experience. And there would be times where we were looking forward to that and then it wouldn't happen. And it was like, oh, man, that's a letdown. Or times where our experience had had a change of plans or somebody got sick. Or like I got ringworm at one point, which is not a fun experience to go through.
You still, does that stay or?
No, okay. I actually still have ringworm. And and it went through. What if it did? And I still have ringworm.
And, I wouldn't work for you.
Just these like different, man, that's really unfortunate. But every time, because the perspective of, oh, I'm going home soon. Like, this is not my permanent and new reality forever. I'm not home. I can face this. And it put those frustrations or disappointments or even sicknesses all into perspective that, hey, I don't have access to Advil right now, but I will soon. I'm going home and I'm not home. And it just was a constant reminder. And in some ways, one of the reminders for Christians, I think, that Corona has put in the forefront of us is the reminder, you are not home. It can be so tempting to make my life and try to make it so comfortable. And one of the things that, I don't know if it's done this for you, it's put into perspective, man, I'm not home. This life, the Psalms say, is a vapor. It's like some of you guys are in cold environments right now, you're streaming in, and when you go outside and you breathe, you see the air, and you know when you breathe and it's cold outside, you can see your air, your breath, and then it disappears. That's what the scriptures say our life is like. And so to hide behind this, you know, we're going to be here forever, or life is going to go on forever. And I'm not trying to invalidate some of the pain and some of the tragic scenarios that people are walking in. And who knows, man, you and I could be sick in any amount of time.
Yeah. At least we're both going to together.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. sick as a result of this and with ringworm again. And, but no matter what, as Christians, we've been told this is not our home. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, we are citizens of heaven, where we anxiously await the returning of Christ to make all things new, put all viruses aside. And God has commanded us in the midst of this, do not fear. I'm in control.
Yeah. I think what I'm recognizing with this is it's causing a lot of people, at least my age, to really think. Like they're forced to think. I was talking, you know, all the colleges have basically shut down. And so a lot of college students from Virginia, Austin, different people are back in Dallas. And I was talking to a few of them this morning, and one of them was telling me that a group of her friends are essentially like talking about why is God allowing this to happen?
Yeah.
And they're just pondering that of like, why is God not stopping this crisis?
Yeah.
Why is he letting this spread? And it was just interesting hearing the different takes on different people's thoughts and perspectives on why God was allowing this or what God was doing with this and trying to pinpoint, okay, what's his reason? What's he doing?
Yeah.
And there, you know, of course there was things like maybe he's trying to point people back to him. Maybe he's displaying his sovereignty, how he's in control, all these different things. And so we could get down on that, but it's, I think what's just so unique about what is happening with this spread and the virus is so many people are like, wow, like it's crazy how much life can change. I mean, if you think about what's happening, I've never in my 26 years of life experienced anything like this. The closest thing was like post 9/11 when I was like in second grade.
Yeah.
But I mean, the world is, it feels like it's shutting down.
Yeah.
And I mean, social media, just the different things that you're seeing take place around the world is just crazy. And so you're right. It's just bringing this whole, these thoughts that I've never thought about before about regarding life and what's the point, what's the deeper meaning, what have I been distracting myself with? And so,
yeah,
it's, talking it's about it.
Broken through that mold. There's a passage I want us to read from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talks about, you know, like I meant earlier, we're so, I don't know if it's blessed. We are so blessed in America that we forget how most people in the world today live and how most people throughout history live, where the average person, I've heard it said in the 1500s, thought about their death every single day. The average Christian never thinks about their death. The average young adult, at least, they think they're immortal. They're going to live for forever. But when the life expectancy not many centuries ago was, you know, 45, you were confronted with the reality that I'm not going to live forever.
Yeah.
So to your point, it is causing people to be confronted with the fact that there's brokenness in our world. My death or mortality is a real thing. And what am I living for? Jesus spoke in a context in Matthew chapter 6 where he spoke to an audience that did live in a time where, you know, there wasn't antibiotics and there wasn't some of the niceties that we have. Refrigeration wasn't around, different things.
Yeah.
And he spoke about the topic of anxiety. I just think it's so relevant. So I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through, let's go through 34.
Okay.
Jesus says, starting in 25, actually, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, as in like plant and harvest and get food, or store away in barns, or go raid their local Target, you know, of toilet paper. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them or provides for them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See, the flower of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe or provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans or people who do not have a relationship with their heavenly Father, they don't know they have a heavenly Father. They run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first. This is what I think is one of the most misunderstood and misapplied verses mm-hmm. as it relates to anxiety. Seek or prioritize first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That Jesus says so many different things that are relevant about anxiety, like, hey, what benefit is worry? Where he says you can't add anything to your life, basically getting his whole audience to go, worry's not really helpful. So spending time worrying about something, he's not saying don't be thoughtful, don't be practical or wash your hands or care about things. He's not just like Bob Marley, sitting on a beach with an actual Corona beer or something. He's saying actually be thoughtful, but at the end of the day, you don't have to have a life that worries and is marked by worry, because you have a heavenly Father who's promised to provide and to care for your needs. Ultimately, on the cross, through Jesus dying, mm-hmm. he provided in the most ultimate way. But he's promised, man, I'm a heavenly Father who cares about you. And then, as it relates to the seek first, I think it's so relevant to where we are because it's one of the most misunderstood principles on anxiety. And the reason I say that is Jesus essentially says, hey, I want you to prioritize first, as first in your life, God's kingdom or God's reign or God's agenda for your life. Mm. Like whatever God's will for your life is, prioritize that. Prioritize what God wants for your life above yours. Let there be no competition for whose will and whose kingdom comes first. My kingdom, my desires, what I want, what I wish would happen, or what God wants to happen.
Yeah.
He says, prioritize those things first. I think most people read this verse and they think Jesus is just saying, hey, don't worry, just go on a mission trip. Or don't worry, just have a quiet time. And in doing so, neither of those are bad things. Those are great things,
yeah.
things you should do. But that misses the broader application of what Jesus is saying, where he's saying, hey, I want you to embrace as first on the throne of your life, God's kingdom. Focus on that, prioritize that, embrace that, and his will for your life above your will for your life. Even when they contradict is where I think it becomes really practical. The two ways that we think about God's will, and so help me flesh this out if this doesn't make sense.
Can I just really fast? When I read that verse, I think for me, just right now, personally, where I get convicted is I'm so prone to like take part two of that verse and all these things will be added to you. And I think I want all of these things to be added to me without seeking first the kingdom of God and what he wants. Because I think I know that when I seek God and what he wants, the things that I want to be added to me will probably change.
Yeah.
So like right now, what I want to be added to me is like, will you get rid of this thing so that way I can get back to my normal life?
Yep.
But what if I sought the kingdom of God first? And what actually changed in me was like, hey, if this means that a world will come back to you, then so be it.
Totally.
And that's scary. Like that's a scary thing to ask essentially for suffering.
Yes.
To ask for to ask to go through a trial, because that's just not how I'm prone to think. I'm prone to go, I want my things to be added to me. And so what that can create is like this like cause and effect with God where it's like, okay, I'll go do my quiet time. I'll seek first and then you'll answer my prayers. Like these things will be added to me.
Yes.
And it's just like, if you're truly seeking God's kingdom, that means that you are actually setting aside your agenda, like you said.
Yep.
And then it's kind of, your agenda is not existent anymore. And I don't like to do that.
If you're like, hey, I'll do these things so that I will get God to give me what I want.
Yeah.
God's not your God. The things that you want are your God.
Yeah, you're not actually doing those things.
Yeah, or you are your own God.
Yeah. You're playing a mind game on yourself.
Yeah. And so I think as it relates to prioritizing God's will for my life, what does that look like? The two ways that we know the will of God for your life is what's revealed in Scripture. It's actually like a theological people, or if you go to like school and seminary or Bible college to study this stuff, they'll talk about how there's two wills of God. There's the unrevealed will, which is kind of like how he allows sovereignly, which mm-hmm. is just a word like he's in control, but he allows things to happen that are a part of our broken world, but he's still controlling things and he's still working things for good. And then there's the revealed will, which is the Bible. Like everything in here, we can know, hey, what does God want? for certain arenas of life. We know it and we can read it. And so as it relates to prioritizing first, I think it looks like, hey, I'm going to prioritize. I want to live according to what God calls me to live by. As his revealed will is here. So I'm going to do what he calls me to.
Yeah.
And then his unrevealed will, I prioritize that by embracing as it unfolds in my life, like as things go and my day unfolds before me and it's not going how I wish it would have gone, or even my life is not going the way I wish it would have gone. I wish I would have been married by this age. I wish I would have not moved to Dallas and lost my job. I wish there wasn't a coronavirus that was putting everything on hold. As that goes, I'm going to choose to embrace, God, if that is your will, I trust you in the midst of it.
Yeah.
I trust you bringing things together for good. You've promised that in Romans chapter 8. I trust that you have a plan that you are bringing according to your wisdom to pass. He's using this clearly for good. Even where an outbreak took place in China, the church has been strengthened and people are seeing the way that Christians over there are responding. And it's just showcasing, man, Jesus is better. That he's using even the worst things he's bringing about. So I think as a Christian, I am confronted with, because candidly, what I get anxious over is not God's kingdom, it's over mine.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you.
You
probably never do, but when I get anxious, it's like the things I don't want to happen may happen.
Yeah.
Not like God's will happening. So whenever I'm confronted with things not going as I wish that they would, I can either be anxious or I can trust, man, God, as it's your sovereign will is unfolding in front of me, I trust you. I trust you. And my worries about I'm not ultimately going to get what I want are kind of crazy, because the truth of the matter, as we've talked before, is like you're not going to get everything that you want. Life and everything that you want it to go as, or however you want your life to go, it's not going to always go the way that you wished it would.
Right.
So you're not going to get everything you want always. So you can have not everything you want in life and peace, or not everything that you want in life and anxiety. But not everything you want, or having everything you want in life, that's not an option.
Right.
But peace is for the believer. And what I think is so hard, my son is into like superheroes right now. And like Avengers.
Favorite one.
He like changes every day. So he wore Black Panther for Halloween. He's wearing, candidly, he's wearing Black Panther right now, Wakanda. And
favorite movie.
And I'm not kidding. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see like, that is it every day. He's fighting the coronavirus with the mask of Black Panther. He's 4, by the way. So anyways. I mean,
Black Panther's not getting the coronavirus.
No, oh, so dude.
Honestly, he might be onto something.
He's got that purple thing that makes him so. Anyway, so he's like all about it. And his favorite one changes like every day. And so he has a new superpower like every day of like, man, I fly or I can do this. It's just like this made up superpower that, you know, he'll act like he has because, you know, it's what you do when you're 4.
Or 26.
This stuff that JD was actually wearing his Black Panther costume right before we started here. We thought about wearing it, but no. Right. It's a made-up superpower. He doesn't actually have that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think, I hear people talk about, you know, times like this are hard because I just struggle with control. Even our language around that is a funny way of putting it. Because it's like my 4-year-old son saying, Dad, I just struggle with super Hulk strength. And it's like, no, you don't, son. That's not a good excuse for why you pushed over your sister. Because you have super Hulk strength, which is, that happens.
I see where you're going with this.
In the same way, somebody who's like, man, I just struggle with control. You're like the 4-year-old saying, no, I just have super Hulk strength that I struggle with. No, you don't. You struggle with, that's nuts. You struggle with not having control. You're delusional. You don't have control. You've never struggled with control. You struggle with not having control. And God has invited us to a life where we surrender. We say, God, I trust you. I can bring all my anxieties to you because you care for me. You're a father in heaven who loves me. And when things don't go as I wish that they would, I can pray and ask those things to change. But I've been invited to trust you because I know you're good and you love me and you're at work around me. So I'm going to embrace your kingdom and your agenda for my life first. Does that make sense?
That's so relevant to this.
Yeah.
Because it's moments like this where you have no control.
Yeah.
It just shows how much we can do nothing. Like,
totally.
We're literally just waiting around for Trump or whoever to tell us what to do next.
Totally.
And it just does something to us because we're so used to thinking we have control.
Yeah.
I mean, something else that people are like, this is kind of ringing up, people talking about just all that's happened in 2020. Like, I think about when Kobe died and Kobe. Totally. You know? And I think that's what people were most shocked by. It was like, he was this figure of like strength, of like, I mean, he was just a rock.
It's still crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you see, boom.
Yep.
It just gone. Life is a vapor.
Yep.
And it's like, wait, no, not Kobe.
Yeah.
That can happen to random over here, but not Kobe and his daughter. Like, what? What? How? Like, and it's just, I mean, not even Kobe had control of his life. And he had everything.
Yeah.
And so this, I mean, God is just doing something in 2020 where he's showing, I mean, the whole world, but I mean, really American people, what I'm seeing is like, I think there are parts of the world right now that are like, our lives are, I mean, this isn't the biggest deal to them like it is to America. Totally. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we are like, what do we do? I mean, we're freaking out.
Yeah.
Because we just don't know how to respond to these kind of things. And it's really revealing, like you're saying.
Totally, man. So the final thing I think is so relevant for Christians as it relates to anxiety. So if you're going, hey, if you put them into buckets, it's that one, knowing God has called us. We don't have to live a life of fear. Mm-hmm. He's commanded us and invited us to pursue a life that perfects that peace, increasingly more perfect peace, no matter how imperfect the peace we experience now is. He's invited us to trust him, that he's at work. If you're a Christian, you can trust him. That'd be the second idea, that he's at work in the midst of your circumstances, and you don't have to worry. Worrying is not helpful. It's not productive. And as things unfold in front of you that are not how you want them to go, God is saying, trust me. I love you so much. I gave my son for you. You can trust me. And ultimately, you can see that provision of a heavenly father through what he did through Jesus. And then the final most practical thing that I think is the most overlooked is prayer. Yeah. That the number of people who, a number of times probably in my own life, that I felt anxiety and it didn't move me quickly towards prayer, but just towards further anxiousness and dwelling on whatever I'm worried about, rather than going, man, now I'm going to take this moment and pray. And it's, I don't know what it is. It's like that fog you get in when you get anxious where you can't even like snap out. You need somebody else to be like, hey, have you prayed about this?
Yeah.
Like, have you prayed yet? And you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I should. Philippians chapter 4. I think we've got this verse in there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, or 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Do not be anxious about anything. Mm-hmm. But in every situation, in everything that you face, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is so nuts to me about this verse, it says the same thing three times. Like, people will try to distinguish, and we may agree to disagree here. If you go back and look at the Greek, the differences between prayer, which is bringing your request to God, petition, which is bringing your request to God, like asking, if you petition something, you're asking for something, and then presenting your request to God, they all mean the same thing. They're so close. In other words, sometimes I've heard people be like, no, this is this type of prayer, and this is this type of prayer. It's not really a great case for that. The usages in the original, let's not even go into it. Point being, Paul's point is just, hey, go to God. Bring your request to God. You should bring those things, whatever you're anxious about. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, cast all of your anxieties or everything you care about on God because he cares for you.
Yeah.
Bring all of those things. So I think as Christians, we're reminded that we're to be in constant communication to bring every moment of anxiety that we have and bring those to our Heavenly Father. And we recently on my team, I'll illustrate it like this, on our staff team here, we switched to something called Microsoft Teams, which I know you've been using or have been forced to use recently.
I have.
Microsoft Teams is like, for people who don't know, it's like if Evernote and FaceTime,
Zoom.
Yeah, and Zoom had a baby.
Yeah.
And maybe like another one.
It's Asana, like, Slack.
Yes, that's exactly like Slack or like any work communication. It's like all those together. And we switched over it, like, I think sometime last year. Nobody ever used it. Nope. Like, I'd never used it ever.
I did.
Production team may have, but our team.
We used it strong.
Never did.
And we're ready now.
And yeah, and you were ready. Until our team never used it until this week. And because it allows you to like FaceTime and communicate and keep things on there. Now we're all waking up. And so we are all over that thing because people are working remotely. And the reason that's relevant is it's like, hey, we never use that communication until a catastrophic event hit, and now we're all over that form of communication. Yep.
I'm just seeing, I mean, everyone's posted about it on Instagram. Like, I just keep seeing all these leaders and stuff post their teams with all their faces, you know, on the conference calls.
Dude, totally.
It's hilarious.
My guess is most of them never used that until this week, until this catastrophic
And you don't even know, like, they've asked us, like, it's like a thing that's like, hey, we need to use this.
Do this, yeah.
Like, we got this to use it. And we're like,
yeah. At some point.
And it's hilarious. I know where you're going with this, obviously. Like, God has asked us to pray.
Constant communication.
Constantly.
And most Christians, it takes a, just like in Microsoft Teams, nobody used it till a catastrophic event or catastrophe happened.
Like, oh, I better come to God now.
That's when most Christians pray. And God has said, no, this is not the bat phone where it's like, man, every time there's an emergency, go to that one red phone and call it. It should be a constant walkie-talkie or constant texting with God, if you will, through prayer of what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing. So I want to give three questions really quick and then four things that should mark Christians. Three questions, if you're experiencing anxiety, and I think we're probably close to wrapping up, is, man, what am I anxious about really? Like, in that fog of anxiety, I just want you to ask the question, what are you really anxious about? Like your friend, let's use her or him or whoever moved here, their job. I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to make rent, that I just signed a lease, and I'm worried that I won't be able to make rent. Okay.
Yeah, here's what I want to first say to her is, like, that is so valid.
Totally valid.
That's what, like, I want people to hear, like, your concern is valid.
You should. You should be thoughtful. But
And as a Christian.
Yes. If there's an irrational level of, like, panic, I'm freaking out, I'm worried, I think then you got to go,
chill.
What's behind? Like,
pump the
further
brakes.
Behind there. Well, I'm worried I have to move back home with my parents.
Yep.
Okay. What happens if you move back home with your parents? I feel like I'm going to be a failure or that I'm not going, this is not what I wanted to happen. Okay. You're ultimately worried about you not getting what you want to happen. Yeah. And that's okay. It's an understandable thing. Mm-hmm. But as Christians, we've been invited to say, God, as things don't go how I want them to, I trust you. So I just want to ask the question of, like, what are you really worried about? Like, what is behind the worry? Most people just stop and they say, I'm worried about not making rent. Okay, well, what happens if you don't make rent? I'd have to move back home. What happens if you have to move back home? Well,
my mom's divorced.
My mom's divorced.
Can't stand
to be so toxic.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, you're worried that God may want you to be
alive.
On mission
to
your mom for a season. And let's just be honest, you just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You're worried about not getting what you want. So I just want to encourage everyone to evaluate, hey, really, what am I worried about? And then the second question behind that is, what would Scripture say to inform my worry?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, well, I don't want to live with my mom. Philippians chapter 2 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, like selfish desire, like what you want. Do nothing in that way. So maybe the most loving thing is that God moves you back in because he wants you to be on mission to your mom, who doesn't know Jesus and has that. So what is the lie behind there? And then I would, no matter where you are, as you're trying to navigate, what am I feeling? What am I really anxious about? And then what's the lie? Or what's the scriptural truth? What would God say about this?
Yeah.
Like, whatever's behind actually my worry. And then I would continue to pray and just bring those things to God. Confess those things. God, I'm anxious. I'm going to have to move back in with my mom. And I don't even want to admit that, but I don't want to do that right now. Just say those, bring those honest prayers to God in the midst of this time.
I think that verse you referenced, I think a lot of people are familiar with that verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer, supplication, all that. The ending of that verse, it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
Again, control. There's something about, like, even in peace, we want to understand. Like, we want to know, how do I get it? How do I obtain it? And how do I know when I have it?
Yeah.
And there's just something about, like, it's this peace that surpasses all understanding. So it's like, I think they don't trust prayer because they don't really trust that they're going to, it's like, how can I get peace from this?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
If there's no way I can get peace from this situation, you don't know it, dude. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how much I have to pay or how much I'm in, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, there's no way I'm getting peace from this.
Yeah.
They don't trust it. And I would just say to that, I've had to like take that step of if there's, I don't understand it.
You know how, you know why I think Paul says that? This is kind of my opinion, but I think it's in the text. I think he implies that as you know God, and especially the more you know him, the more you bring those things, you're like, I don't want to move in with my mom, but I know that you're good, you love me, you're for me. You got this, you're in control. Like, you're a great dad. Like, the more you know God, the more you go, here's what I want to do, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I trust you, you're awesome.
Right.
And I think the more you know God, the more you're like, God is awesome, he's for me, he's good, I can trust him. And people whose faith like amazes me, like, man, I got cancer and I'm praying God will take it away, but if he doesn't, that's okay. Are people who know God deeply and intimately. Yeah. So that's where I think the idea of imperfect peace, there's a perfecting to peace that comes through knowing God more. The more that you know him, the more that you experience increasing levels of that ever-increasing peace or ever-perfecting peace. And
but, it's so, like I always say with prayer, for people that haven't actually practiced it the way that we're called to, I always say like people who don't pray who have are people who have never prayed. I mean, like, I know that sounds duh, but what I mean is like, once you have biblically and like how you're called to pray and communicate with God,
yeah,
it creates such change in your life that you're like, I don't ever want this to stop.
Yeah.
And so I would just encourage people like we need to be, like we need to pray now more than ever before.
Yeah.
And like you said, pray, don't just pray like, Lord, take away the coronavirus. Like, I think a lot of people right now need to pray about those things that they're actually worried about.
Yeah.
And to spend time actually talking to God and not just like, you know, but communicating with him. So it's good.
Here, I'll close this, close here and give you guys four things that I think God wants to mark us right now. In my front and backyard, I'm like trying to get grass to grow. Pretty frustrating thing. And that for whatever reason, God has sovereignly given me a yard that every year I like put down sod and then it dies or it gets patchy and it's like, good grief, this is so annoying.
Your neighbors have good grass?
Oh, they have great grass. Dude, they have the best grass. I'll take a picture and send it to you because it's like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. And I'm embarrassed. And I look like the neighbor who's not trying. And it's like, people, I am trying. I'm giving it 100
like,
out here.
Hey, Marty. And he's like, hey, David.
Oh, dude, he's fertilizing. It looks
incredible.
Don't look kids. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but one of the problems is like, I'll get, weeds will come in. And I don't like to pick weeds because you got to go down. You can't just weed eat. You got to like get the roots. You got to pull them out because those will choke out the grass. And the reason I share all that is because what's interesting is like weeds and grass, this is profound, require the same thing to grow. Soil and water and sunlight. Like those are the same things. I know this is not a botany class.
Facts.
They require the same thing to grow. And without those, you know, they're not going to grow.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is faith and fear require the same thing to grow. The soil of uncertainty.
Mm.
In the same way that grass and weeds both grow in the same dirt or the same soil. So fear and faith both grow in the same soil, which is uncertainty. And in this time, you should write that down.
Can you tweet that?
In this time, God, I think, wants to grow the faith of Christians. As we face uncertainty, he wants us to begin to prune, just like I'm pulling out the weeds so the grass can grow. Anytime those fears pop up, I'm taking those, I'm confessing them, I'm addressing them with God's word. I'm doing everything I can to bring others in and just say, man, I'm afraid of this right now. I don't think it's what God wants for me, scripture says. I don't want to confess those things because he wants us now. And I think there's such a huge chance for people in society to go, there's something different about Christians. They're marked in uncertainty. What's growing in their life is faith. What's growing in my life is fear.
Man, that's good.
And so how do I make sure that I'm disciplined to like proactively, I want to prune my life through confessing when I got a weed of fear there and addressing it with God's word.
And that's what pumps me up the most about this.
Yeah.
Is I think we've talked about this. I think this is a time like never before where the gospel and Christianity is just screaming. It's just proclaimed to the world.
Totally, man.
And that is such a good, I'm going to use that. You mind if I?
Dude, you steal it away. Nothing to understand. Hey, last four things. Do you know what time we're at? I don't know how much time we have.
I think we're in like
40?
Yeah, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, here's the last things. I think it's worth flying through these really quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. What are they doing?
Yeah, they're hanging
at home. Netflix. Knitting a sweater?
Hey, turn off the Netflix. Good grief.
It is time.
Stop knitting. You can knit while you watch. Here's four characteristics. Origami. I think scripturally that we shared earlier on Instagram Live that I think are what God would have at least these things mark us. And as I pray through, like, God, increase these in my life, mm-hmm. that we should be in their four P's. In this season, we should be prayerful as Christians. We should be marked by productivity in that we're not just, hey, every day, what do? I'm home. I can't go to work. I just Netflix binge. We should be marked by productivity, by proclaiming the gospel with people that are around us. Here, you can go back. Go back to the one before that. Productivity, go back to the one before that. Go to the fourth one. Oh, yeah, I'm practical. That scripture says, hey, we should be practical. So what do I mean? So very quickly, like prayerful. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, hey, be watchful, be devoted to prayer. Mm-hmm. That you and I should be praying for Trump, for the administration, for leaders. Romans 13 says, all those in high places. Or 1 Peter chapter 2 says, pray for all those who are in high places. Prayer should mark your life. You should be praying for those who are sick. Pray for a vaccine. Pray for a chance for the church to be strengthened wherever you live in. You should be practical. As in, like, it's not heroic or extra Christian to be like, I'm not washing my hands ever. No, that's just selfish. One of my favorite verses
in
James 4, we were laughing about this before, where James 4 says, hey, wash your hands, you sinners. And which I know someone's like, that's not what they're talking about. I know, it's just a funny verse, at least.
Yeah.
Funny context. So, be practical, be thoughtful, don't be selfish, and be considerate of things to not spread the continuation of the virus around here. Be productive. Ephesians chapter 5 says, make the best use of time. So be productive. That's the third P, if you will. Like, how do I grow in my relationship with God in this unique season where I'm slowing down? How do I connect with God? And then proclaim. How can I use this through my interactions with my neighbors, through my interactions on social media? How can I showcase the gospel to people? Mm-hmm. And then I care for people and the needs of people. Maybe there's elderly folks around you and you go out of your way to not bring virus to them, but say, can I care for you? Is there anything that you need in the midst of this time to prevent them from having to go out in public? And also I want to proclaim faith over fear that God is in control. I have a heavenly Father and I know that and I believe that. So man, I think that would be all that I have.
Dude, that's good stuff.
Come on, dude.
Like I know I'm encouraged. I'm walking away. Like, seriously, I'm not just saying this because you're my boss. Like, I'm walking away.
And he has to.
Way more empowered. Thank you. And just way more, like, I feel like I just have more purpose, like, in this, like, pandemic. And and I think I have a lot more now just to, like, to be equipped in to help people. Because I do think that this isn't over soon.
No, I think you're right.
And so I think grabbing onto resources like this are really helpful. So thanks for just taking time. Like, I know you have a family. I know you have things that, like, you have a lot going on. You're trying to run a ministry now, all digital. And so thanks for taking the time to sit down with us and those tuning in live right now and just sharing, like, your wisdom. It's, like, super helpful.
I would not miss it. We love Porch Nation and love my own family and love the Porch family to get to be a part of. So let me pray. Hey, if you are on YouTube watching this, we'd love to hear from you. What are you going through? How can we be praying for you? You can go to theporch.live/prayer. And we'd love as a team to pray for you. You can also send us and hit us up on Instagram and just let us know what prayer requests. We may even put out an official one of those. And like he said on YouTube earlier, if you're hitting this, make sure to hit subscribe so that you're notified because we're going to go live regularly and at least every Tuesday.
We're going to try to, like, funnel more onto our YouTube channel.
Yep.
And so that's why we want y'all to subscribe. It's not like, grow our following. It's like, no, we want you to actually be notified because more than ever before, we're going to be utilizing YouTube. So
that's right, man.
That's kind of the intent behind that.
I love it. Hey, let me pray. God, thank you for just a chance through communication, through digital communication and through technology and just all the different people that are a part of helping put this on. You're allowing us to still communicate your word all over different cities and states and people's homes. And so I pray that whatever we shared today was in line with your word, would be remembered and applied. And would you deeper apply those and help JD and myself to more deeply apply just those principles to experience increasing peace in our own life from the God who's invited us to experience it. And so we pray that you would stop the virus, you would provide a vaccine and a cure, but we pray that you would help your church to be strong and full of faith, not fear in this time. And so help us to be marked by that and to live that out. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Would you come quickly? And if you don't, would you make much of yourself in the midst of this. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Hey, well, elbows.
Elbows.
You guys stay safe out there. And
this is like worth like $1,000.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible. All right. Hey, we'll see you next week.
Until next time.